Whether you're thinking about leaving a salaried job and becoming your own boss, or maybe you already own a small or mid-sized company and would like to expand by buying a similar operation or a complementary business that already exists. Either way, you're not alone. In fact, over 2 million North American businesses change hands every year. Most of these are small to mid-sized businesses, retail stores, beauty salons, quick print shops, restaurants, tax preparation services, landscapers, electrical contracting firms, and manufacturing operations, to mention just a few. And most are being purchased by first-time business owners or those who seek expansion of their existing businesses. But if you're considering buying an existing business, don't be surprised if the process seems intimidating at first. In fact, you probably have lots of legal and financial questions. In this audio white paper, VR CEO Peter King and President Joanne Lombardi will provide an overview to successfully navigating your way through this complicated process. Throughout this time, Peter and Joanne will make you aware of the important decisions you'll need to make and key actions you'll need to take in order to ensure that you have a successful transaction. Whether you choose to handle the purchase on your own, or you plan to work with lawyers, accountants, and a qualified intermediary. Having sold more businesses in North America than anyone, VR is committed to being a valuable resource for our clients. In keeping with this commitment, VR developed these audio white papers to provide information that will enable you to consistently grow and improve. We hope you not only enjoy, but also profit from the following information. Why are you buying a business?
People who think about buying a business tend to fall into three basic categories described in this section. But while different buyers' needs and goals aren't the same, the process of buying a business, especially the legal procedures, is surprisingly constant. So whichever category you fit into, this information will help you accomplish your goal of a successful business purchase. Let's look at the three types of buyers. Many people buy a business where they intend to work each day, with the expectation that the business will provide a steady source of income. In a typical scenario, the buyer makes a down payment of between 10 and 30% of the sales price. Then, as the new owner, the buyer pays the seller the balance of the sales price in monthly installments spread over a number of years. The buyer, of course, will have other bills to pay each month, including rent, employee paychecks, utilities, insurance, and business taxes. Whatever is left over is income to the owner, though many business owners wisely keep some money in reserve to help them ride out the slow periods. Some people who buy a business are already in business and want to expand their current enterprise, both to increase their business and the possibility to dominate a local market. Such people are often called strategic buyers because they're carrying out a larger business strategy. Some of those who are looking to expand a business may be in the market for the same kind of business they're already in. There are enormous advantages to this, the biggest one being that the buyer already knows a great deal about the business and can value it appropriately during the purchase process and operate it more easily after the purchase is complete. Another advantage to buying the same kind of business is the profitable effect of consolidation. Oftentimes, both businesses can be run from the same location and are under the same back office, administrative, and accounting operations. So, when the additional sales from the newly purchased business are recorded, the overall profitability of the consolidated companies are increased, quite often significantly. Some people buy a small business simply as a way to round out their investment portfolios. They have no intention of taking an active part in the business and will often spend a good bit of their profits to hire a highly dependable general manager. Their focus is on asset growth and perhaps taking advantage of the tax benefits of business ownership. This strategy, of course, is only available to those with significant assets.
What type of business do you really want?
If you decide you'd like to own a business, buying an existing one isn't the only way to accomplish your goal. You could instead start a business from scratch or buy a nationally branded franchise. For many would-be entrepreneurs, buying an existing non-franchise business is the most attractive alternative. But this isn't always true, and it's important to consider all your options before making such an important decision. Whatever type of business you'd like to own, you always have the option of creating a brand new enterprise to your exact specifications. Here are some considerations to be weighed in assessing this option. The pros of this option include its relatively low cost, the joy of creation, and the control of having a clean slate. You can typically start a business for less than it would cost to buy one. If the existing business you're thinking of buying is the least bit profitable, the seller will want money for goodwill, the intangible value that goes beyond the worth of the basic business assets. It represents, for example, the value of a loyal customer base and perhaps a good reputation in the marketplace, which is often overestimated by sellers. By contrast, when you start a business from scratch, not only do you avoid paying for goodwill, but you can assemble the exact assets you think you'll need. When starting a business from scratch, you'll always have the joy of making the business exactly what you want it to be. The business will have your personality permanently imprinted on it. And if the business prospers, you'll get the credit and the bragging rights. And you'll be the one in control, able to make decisions about how to start and run your business. You won't be obligated to stick with the practices of your predecessor or toe the line for a franchisor. The drawbacks of starting a business from scratch include having greater risk, difficulty in fundraising, trial and error decision making, lack of initial cash flow, challenges in finding a suitable location, and having no systems, employees, or suppliers in place. Leaping into the greater unknown carries greater risk than buying an existing business that has a good track record. At the beginning, you'll be engaging in an experiment to determine if your concept will work. And even if customers flock to your new enterprise, you'll have to deal with loads of issues such as pricing, hiring employees, setting up business systems, and so on that would already been addressed if you purchased an existing company. You may have a hard time finding a bank or lender to give you the funds you need for a business startup. Lenders are often leery of brand new enterprises. You'll need to make important business decisions without experience of your own or the benefit of an existing business structure and possibly even the wisdom of the former owner. For example, how should you price your goods or services? What type of inventory should you maintain? What type of advertising will best support your business? This is the flip side of the positive element of having total control. Being responsible for all the decisions means that you must figure everything out yourself. No existing base of loyal customers or clients. You'll need to find ways to let people know you're around. Then you'll need to work at converting them to loyal customers or clients who not only return to you time and again for your goods or services, but also tell others about you. Since you have no ready-made base of customers or clients, it can take time for money to start coming in. And because you may be inexperienced at establishing systems, collecting debts, and managing inventory, it can take even a longer period for the business to start generating a profit. If location is important to your brand new business, for example, if you need to be in a high visibility, high traffic location, you'll have to spend time and exert effort into finding just the right place to rent. Then comes the chore of negotiating a favorable lease and possibly the expense of renovating the premises to suit your needs. If there's an existing business that has made a cheap or offbeat location work, you'll probably find this impossible to replicate. You'll have to set up all your operational systems, including a bookkeeping and accounting system. How difficult this is will depend on your experience and comfort with tasks like this. Even though excellent software is available to help you do this yourself with that most little bit of professional help, it can be a time-draining diversion from running the business. Unless you're going to be a one-person show, you'll have to find and train competent employees, which can be a more demanding task than you might imagine. With no established relationships, you'll also need to seek out reliable and cost-effective suppliers, which can be a tedious and frustrating process. Despite the long list of negatives, many entrepreneurs still choose this option to get themselves into a business.
Many people also get started in business by buying a franchise from a franchisor. The benefits of franchise ownership include name recognition, precise business systems, available credit, and territorial protection. A well-run franchisor, using its own money plus advertising fees from franchisees, can pour money into regional and national advertising to help consumers become familiar with the brand name. By becoming a franchisee, you get the benefit of this advertising. If the name has a good reputation, you begin to benefit from it the very first day you open your doors for business. Typically, the franchisor will provide you with training and an operations manual. The franchisor will probably help you find a suitable location and order the necessary equipment. And if you're working with a good franchise, you can often count on the franchisor to offer advice if you run into a jam or problems. Credit is available. Franchisors frequently let you pay the bulk of the startup costs over a period of years, making it unnecessary for you to turn to a bank or other lender for money. Territorial protection. You may have exclusive rights to a franchise business within a defined geographical area, but increasingly, territorial protections are non-existent. The negatives of franchise ownership include the relatively high costs, very little flexibility, constraints on contracts, and difficulty in exiting. While there are some very reputable and successful franchises, lots of franchises are also junk. Tens of thousands of different franchises are currently for sale. Many of these have little or no name recognition, high fees, and poor support from the franchisor. In addition to the basic fee to buy a franchise, you may have to pay the franchisor for required equipment and supplies and for a portion of the advertising pool. However, this is worth it if the money is invested wisely in developing demand for the product or service. Also, you may have to send the franchisor a healthy share of your gross income each month. Franchise fees can often add up to more than 10% of the business's gross monthly income. If you buy a franchise, you will wind up marching to someone else's drummer. To a good franchisor, it's the franchise way or the highway. Owning a franchise can build a solid track to run on, but there is not much opportunity to stray from that track. Many entrepreneurs are independent types who bristle at the regimentation that often goes along with being a franchisee. Buying a franchise almost always means signing a long-term contract in which every clause is tilted strongly in favor of the franchisor. Rarely are you able to negotiate more equitable terms. The franchise contract generally is offered as a take-it-or-leave-it basis. If in the end the business doesn't live up to your expectations, it can be difficult to simply walk away, even if you're willing to give up the money invested so far. Not only is it likely that you'll have continuing financial obligations to the franchisor, but selling the business to someone else will be easier said than done. There may be a few takers. And even if you find someone who is interested, that person may not be acceptable to the franchisor, who probably has reserved the right to approve or disapprove any sale of a franchise and make changes in the franchise contract that might make it less desirable to a new buyer. Given all these factors, it's a good idea to take your time before jumping on board as a franchisee. Do your homework by getting a copy of the proposed franchise agreement and reviewing it carefully. If there are parts you don't understand completely, consult an attorney. Also, you may find it helpful to contact a reputable VR professional intermediary who can help you determine if you are a good franchise candidate, and if so, can help you with the right opportunity for you. There's no cost to you, but if you're seriously considering buying a franchise, this service can be an invaluable help.
Buying an existing business has its own set of positive and negative features, but you, like many others, may find that on balance, it's a desirable approach. The positives include an already working system, an existing customer base, immediate cash flow, potential seller financing, an existing location, existing vendor contracts, and potentially ongoing counsel from the existing owner. An existing business has a history, a track record, so you can tell whether the concept is sound and profitable. An existing customer base. You have a head start building up a roster of customers or clients, often the hardest part of establishing a business. However, you should verify the bright picture the seller is likely to paint about how happy and loyal existing customers are. Acquiring a healthy business usually means there's money flowing in right from the get-go. In the best-case scenario, these funds will cover your expenses and leave enough to pay you for the time and effort in running the business. You probably won't have to scrounge around for funds, other than for the down payment and a modest cash reserve. That's because most small business sellers will let you pay the bulk of the sale price over a period of 3 to 5 years. The business may also have an established location that's protected by a favorable lease for several years. If so, you can continue operating from the same place. You won't have to re-educate customers about where to find the business, and you won't have to mount a search for suitable quarters. Many times, the seller will agree to stick around as an employee or consultant to help you learn the nuances of the business and make the transition easier. And if the seller isn't willing to help out for more than a month or two, you can probably still count on the help of longtime employees who will stay, giving you the benefit of their experience and knowledge. In short, if the transition is correctly managed, you won't be all alone with a new enterprise. The business may have ongoing relationships and contracts with suppliers and vendors, perhaps on favorable terms. Often you'll be able to benefit from such contracts and not have to form new relationships, which sometimes is a time-consuming and somewhat frustrating ordeal. Perhaps the biggest positive factor is that statistics show that established businesses are much less likely to fail than businesses starting from scratch. However, there are also potential negatives in buying an existing business. These could include having to operate someone else's business concept, possibly overpaying for the goodwill estimate and the potential of hidden problems. When you purchase an existing business, you are by definition paying for someone else's business concept. The fact is, you won't have some of the thrill of creating something on your own. For those who are primarily money-driven, that may be fine. But for those entrepreneurs who enjoy creating a viable business from scratch, this may not be immediately fulfilling. Instead, this breed of entrepreneur will have to exercise their creativity in improving the existing business over time to make it better and more profitable. Typically, to get the benefits of buying an existing business, you'll need to pay something beyond the value of the tangible business assets, an intangible asset called goodwill. You can look at this as the price you'll pay to reduce the risk inherent in a startup. By definition, goodwill is simply the excess of the purchase price over the fair market value of an asset. This can occur because of such factors as a prime location, happy workforce, loyal customers, long-standing good reputation in the community, as well as other non-measurable intangibles. The vast majority of business owners, including those who are looking to sell their businesses, are honest people, especially if you patiently and diligently investigate all aspects of the business. The chances are excellent that you'll receive enough solid information that you can sensibly evaluate its prospects. Still, there's always the possibility that a shady seller will distort or withhold key facts. By working with a VR professional intermediary, you can greatly diminish, if not eliminate, the chances of getting fooled by a seller's dishonesty. Overall, buying an existing business is one of the best ways of eliminating the negatives of a long startup phase and reducing the time you spend on the road to profitability. However, whether you choose the path of franchise ownership or buying an existing business, a VR professional intermediary can help you select the right company for you and be there to offer guidance and counsel throughout the entire acquisition process.
The process of buying a business.
Before we get into all the details, here are four basic principles that can help you buy a sound business at a decent price and become a happy and prosperous business owner. First, understand all the steps in the purchase process. Armed with this information, you can confidently take action on all aspects of buying a business, such as finding one that fits your needs, figuring out what it's worth, negotiating the price and payment terms, structuring the deal so that you can save on taxes and protect your legal rights, and finding and using professionals to provide advice and review key documents. And you can also avoid many pitfalls that are likely to trip up the naive or the poorly informed buyer. Second, be aware of your own personality, strengths, and weaknesses. If you've never owned a business before, you need to think about whether you're temperamentally suited to be a business owner. Third, be patient. At each stage of the purchase process, you want time on your side. Finding the right business to buy can take many months. If you try to rush the process, you'll almost surely end up buying a substandard business or paying too much for a good one. And even if you've found the business of your dreams, you still face the meticulous work of investigating the business thoroughly and then negotiating the terms of your purchase. You can't accomplish these critical tasks overnight. Again, if you act impulsively and without adequate preparation, you're likely to make costly mistakes. Fourth, budget wisely. You want to avoid the discomfort of extreme financial pressures that can lead to bad business decisions and cause hardship for you and your family. So you need to think carefully, not just about the purchase price, but also the payment terms. You probably wind up buying a business on an installment basis, making monthly payments to the seller. Of course, you'd like to keep the down payment as low as possible. But because of a relatively low down payment will mean relatively high monthly payments, this isn't always the best course. Will you be able to make the payments month after month, pay all the other expenses of doing business, and wind up with enough left over to provide adequate income for your family? To give yourself a little cushion, it's best not to sink every last penny into the business, even if that means purchasing a less ambitious enterprise. What happens if you encounter unexpected expenses, or if the business goes through a slow period, or a lawsuit or other unexpected problems adds to your expenses? You need to keep some money in reserve to ride out such times. To buy a business on attractive terms, you must thoroughly understand and aggressively deal with a myriad of practical and financial details. To offer just a few examples, you must decide on the type of business you'd like to buy, find the business that will meet your needs, investigate its current situation and future prospects, come up with a workable plan to pay for it, and negotiate a sales agreement. And of course, each of these big steps has numerous smaller steps within it. Understandably, if you've never bought a business before, thinking about all these tasks may be overwhelming. But don't worry. Each one of these steps and more can be sensibly understood and dealt with when taken one at a time.
Step number one, coming up with a budget.
No matter how eager you are to buy a business, you need to first take stock of your overall financial picture. Your enthusiasm from becoming a business owner can quickly turn into misery if you get in over your head. You should plan to deal with dollars and cents realities right from the start. The most likely scenario is that you'll buy a business on an installment basis. Typically, you'll make a substantial down payment to the seller and then pay the balance in monthly installments over a number of years. So you first need to figure out where you'll get the down payment. Let's say you plan to take it from savings. Do you really want to put every last cent of your savings into the business? That's probably a bad idea. You'll have your back to the wall if you drain your savings. As we've already said, it is far better to keep a comfortable reserve so you can deal with emergency expenses and not be forced to search frantically for money to meet unexpected bills. If instead of raiding your savings for the down payment, you plan to borrow the money, you must also use caution. Remember that you'll need to pay back the lender, and you may be making these payments at the same time you're making monthly installment payments to the seller. Where will all this money come from? Looking beyond the down payment and installment payment, you'll need to expect the unexpected. Business expenses that ironically seem to crop up in periods when business income is low. How will you deal with such expenses? Will you wind up in deeper debt? You also need to be clear on whether you're counting on the business to produce profits that you can use to pay for personal expenses, the mortgage on your home, the lease payments on your new car, the weekly grocery bills. If there's a second earner in your household, you're getting income checks from a trust fund, or you have substantial savings, this won't be a problem. But if you're expecting your business to immediately give you the wherewithal to cover personal living expenses each month, you need to consider the possibility that the income from the business may not be as substantial as you think it will be. If you're young and have no dependents and little or no debt, you can't afford to take on more risk. But if loved ones are looking to you for steady income, you may need to be a lot more cautious. This can translate into buying a less expensive business while keeping open the option of trading up to something grander when you're in a stronger financial position. Perhaps you're not accustomed to thinking in broad financial terms. In that case, you can pay to talk matters over with an accountant or an outside professional like a VR intermediary, one who can help you assess the pros and cons. As an entrepreneur, you can't afford to be wholly averse to risk, but you do need a dose of financial realism to prevent you from putting yourself into a painful financial bind.
Step number two, deciding on a business and finding it.
The most time-consuming and frustrating part of buying a business may be your search for the right business to buy. Not that there's a shortage of businesses on the market. In fact, it's likely that you will find many businesses up for sale that broadly fit your criteria. The key to understand exactly what type of business you're looking for and then find an excellent one, be patient. You can quickly buy a bad or merely average business. Buying an excellent one takes more time. Don't get discouraged if an attractive business doesn't pop up on your radar right away. And above all, don't let your impatience cause you to make a poor decision. In searching for a business to buy, it's essential to know early in the game what you want. And you surely heard the saying, if you don't know where you're going, you probably won't get there. If you're pretty sure that you want to buy a business but don't know what type, you'll need to narrow it down and weigh the positive and negative features of the types of businesses you might consider buying. For starters, here are some questions for you to consider. Are you mainly interested in owning a retail business, a service business, a distributorship, or a light manufacturing business? Each has its pros and cons. What types of products or services are on your short list? Within the retail field, you may prefer dealing with food rather than bicycles or vice versa. In the service arena, you may be interested in acquiring a landscaping business rather than a company that installs computer networks. Trust your intuition here. Only you can know what types of enterprises will suit you and your unique personality. What kinds of businesses would be a good match for your skills and experience and would give you pleasure? For example, if you're an avid cyclist, you may be looking for a shop that sells and services bicycles for athletes and families. Serving a market that you have a natural affinity with can both financially and emotionally be rewarding. Try for a niche that fits your personality and skills, but don't let your attraction to a particular activity, no matter what it is, drive your decision-making. You still need to find a business that is, or can be quickly come, profitable. Is physical location an issue? For any number of reasons, you may want to continue living in your current community. For example, your spouse may not want to give up his or her job, or perhaps you're active in local civic affairs or have deep roots in your town. By contrast, if you're more flexible and can move anywhere in the country or perhaps anywhere within a certain region, this obviously opens up many more business possibilities. Figure this out first, and then you can narrow or broaden your search accordingly. Realistically, how can you afford to invest in a business? As we've discussed, it's important to start with a tight estimate on how much you can comfortably invest in a business. But don't let this amount dictate the size of the business you can afford, because businesses are bought largely or at least substantially on credit. You may be able to afford a bigger business than you might think. For example, take over a $400,000 business, you may be able to make a 10% down payment or $40,000 and pay the balance of installments over a 5-year period using the profits from the business. On the other hand, you don't want to use every last cent of your savings. You'll be much better off keeping something in reserve in case the business hits a tough period. Once you've thoroughly answered all these questions, you'll be in a good position to start looking.
Step number 3, examining the seller's information.
Even when you find a business that appears to have the right ingredients, you'll surely want to learn as much as possible about the history of the business before making a commitment to buy it. Start by examining preliminary financial data from the seller, tax returns and balance sheets, for example, and then if the business has some real possibilities, you can dig much deeper. At that point, especially if you've never owned a business before, you might consider hiring a CPA or a consultant like a VR professional intermediary to help you better understand the numbers.
Step 4, determining the business's value.
Chances are that before you get too far down the road in your discussions with the seller, you'll need to devote a considerable amount of time and thought to the value of any business you're considering buying. And this is true even if you think that you already have a ballpark idea of what the business is worth, either from your own experience in similar businesses, from talking to others in the industry, or from articles you've read from trade publications. Unless you've worked in a managerial capacity for the specific business you're considering, your seat-of-the-pants notion of the business value may be way off base. At the very least, you'll want to refine it based on a well-reasoned and definable method that you can use later in your negotiations with the seller. If possible, it's advantageous to have a sense of what the business is worth before you even begin negotiating with the seller. That way, when you begin discussing a potential deal, you'll know whether the price the owner has set is in the range that you've even considered. If the seller has set the price way too high, you may decide that the gap between what you think the business is worth and what the seller thinks is simply too great to justify your spending more time in negotiations. Similarly, if you haven't done your homework and your opening offer is much lower than the low end of the business's value, the seller may not take you to be a serious buyer and you may lose a good opportunity for the wrong reasons. Valuing a business is both an art and a science. Depending on the type of business involved, there are several textbook methods you can use. Valuing the assets, basing the price on comparable sales, calculating return on investment, or using an industry formula based on sales or units. Whatever valuation methodology you use, you'll probably end up with a range of values rather than one absolute number. And always keep in mind that while it's essential to be able to define the price that you offer to pay for a business, in the last analysis, the number you name won't nearly be as meaningful as the one a willing seller agrees to accept.
Step 5, negotiating the deal.
When you find a likely business, even if you and the seller seem to come to a quick and enthusiastic meeting of the minds, there will be plenty of chances for the deal to fall apart as the details are worked out. For one thing, you'll be digging deeper into the business and learning more about what can be dozens of nitty-gritty operating issues. In addition, you'll be making sure you don't inadvertently assume liability for hidden problems, including lawsuits, environmental issues, and tax issues. because you'll probably want an agreement that you can pay the sale price in installments. You'll also need to convince the seller that you're creditworthy and have the necessary entrepreneurial skills and personal attributes to make a success of the purchase. Obviously, it will take time to complete these steps. In addition, there will be many other legal and practical details to be worked out. You'll need to determine the structure of the sale. Will you be buying the business entity or just its assets? Will the seller keep some assets that are currently part of the business, accounts receivable, for example, or high-tech equipment? You probably won't pay full purchase price in cash up front, but how much will you put down? And what payment terms and interest rate will the seller agree to? What kind of security interest will you give the seller to protect the seller if you stop making payments? For example, will you agree to give the seller a lien on your home as well as the business assets? If the seller misrepresents some important details about the business or fails to take care of existing business debts as promised, what legal recourse will you have to unwind the deal and get fair compensation? What warranties will the seller make about the condition of the business or its assets? For example, will the seller guarantee that no environmental hazards lurk within the business premises? If hazards are found, will the seller be able to pay the cost of the cleanup? What warranties will you make? For example, until the seller has been paid off, will you be asked to agree to keep the business equipment in good shape, to maintain the inventory at pre-sale levels, and to continue to operate from the existing location? How will you and the seller handle current business debts? Will responsibility from some current debts and even potential lawsuits be transferred to you? Or will the seller agree to stay liable for all pre-sale obligations? And on the flip side, will you be adequately protected from future debts and lawsuits? Will the seller perform any services for the business in the future? If so, for how long? And how will the seller be compensated? Will the seller be an employee or an independent contractor? Will the seller be allowed to immediately invest in, own, or work for a similar business? If the seller will be restricted, how stringent would the restrictions be, and how long will they last? Obviously, if the seller is very elderly or ill, or is planning to move out of the area, this won't be a major issue. Conversely, if the seller wants to stay active in a similar business, or perhaps even sell just a part of the enterprise, negotiating right to compete issues will be a critical part of striking a deal. These are all key questions that will be very important in your negotiations, and this is just a basic overview.
Step 6, the sales agreement.
The most important legal document used in the acquisition of a business is a purchase agreement. Correctly drafted, this legal contract should capture all the details of the sale. This in turn allows the seller to transfer the business entity or its assets to you smoothly on a specified date called the closing. And if a dispute arises before or after the closing, the clear terms of your purchase agreement will be the first place you'll look in an effort to resolve it. Because the purchase agreement is so crucial in the sale of your business, it is highly advisable to get proper counsel from an attorney and/or competent business intermediary. Ironically, real estate agents are able to legally facilitate the sale of a business because of their license. However, without the depth of experience that a business attorney or intermediary possesses, they often just don't understand the complexities of a business sale.
Step 7, the closing.
After the sales agreement is signed, there's one more step before the business is actually transferred to you. This takes place at a meeting, called the closing, at which you pay the sale price, or at least the agreed-upon down payment, and sign the documents such as a promissory note and security agreement, or a bill of sale for the business assets if an asset sale, plus all the other paperwork needed to turn ownership over to you. In exchange, the seller signs stock certificates or corporate documents if an entity sale. Congratulations, you've made it through this complex process, and now the real fun begins. You're in business and the captain of your own destiny.
While in reality, it may be hard to envision yourself in the position of having finally completed this long and arduous series of decisions and action items, you can get through it all very easily and successfully if you simply take it one step at a time and make sure to enlist the aid of key professionals and advisors throughout the process.
This audio white paper has been brought to you by your local VR Mergers and Acquisitions office. Specializing in privately owned and closely held mid-market companies, VR's experienced team of highly trained intermediaries can powerfully represent you throughout a merger, acquisition, or divestiture process. As your advocate, a VR professional intermediary provides a discreet, comprehensive, consultative approach to each and every business transaction that is unrivaled in the mergers and acquisitions industry. Because VR only recruits the most seasoned and experienced professionals and trains them in our proprietary M&A system, you can rely on every VR intermediary and team to bring to you exactly the same level of service and professional resources that a much larger company would receive from the finest top-tier investment bank. We invite you to call the phone number printed on the back of this audio package. Find out for yourself why VR has sold more businesses in North America than anyone, and more importantly, how we can help you.